This week on Balls, 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 we talk about our pets, corporal punishment, how to fix the sports we love, the best pizza in town, and of course, LeBron James. 15, 10, 45. Welcome to Balls, 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 a podcast about sports and other things. Today, we're going to cover some good topics. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing swell.
Good job. That was good banter. We could probably just cut now. We took some pretty sweet pics today, too, for our website.
Yeah, we sure did. I got some action shots. Should be relatively impressive.
Yeah.
Well, impressive is a strong word.
It's a good word to use.
Regardless, we're three white people posing
with footballs and
in a suburban yard.
It's the picture of America, three white dudes posing.
Yeah.
So all right, well, let's start it off. We got a couple of topics to talk about today. Blake, why don't you tell us about your cat Rondo? What's
cat,
his full name?
His name is Rondo Johnson.
Who's he named after?
He's named after Rajon Rondo, point guard for the Celtics at the time.
Ron is sitting between Justin and myself right now.
We'll take a picture of this and post it online.
I've got pictures,
don't
worry.
Okay.
He's sort of folded in half, and he's covering his eyes with his right front paw.
It's really adorable.
He's the love of my life. He's my child. He's a great cat. I mean, I never was super into cats until we got him. I used to always kind of be a dog person.
Well, they're better.
So. But having him grow up with me, like from little kitten to now, I would never take it back.
He's super cute. Like he has this little crooked tail though. He's born that way.
He's born. His tail's broken.
It's like short.
So it's short and it's crooked about halfway down. But it's strange, but that's what makes Rondo Rondo.
He's Rondo.
He goes by Ron most of the time, so gotta call him Ron for short.
I called him Ron Johnson.
We've even gone as far as he always has costumes for Christmas. He has a Santa outfit, and for Halloween we got him a Celtics jersey, and he wore that.
Was Rondo still on the Celtics at that time?
Yeah.
God, every time you buy a jersey, you get screwed.
I can't do it. I can't win.
He bought a LeSean McCoy jersey, and then LeSean McCoy got
traded. And then a year
later,
he got traded.
Adam, you have a dog.
I have a dog.
What's her name?
Her name is Bailey.
What's Bailey all about?
She is all about sitting and sleeping. She's
how
like
old
a cat.
Is Bailey?
14 and a half.
So I thought wow. She's up there. So
she, the conversation has been avoided for the most part, but she'll probably be put down around the end of this year.
Oh,
yeah.
What a downer.
I know. The only reason I went to Arizona for the month of April, and so it was just my parents at home with her, and I was really nervous that like I was gonna come back and they would just be like, yeah, we put her down.
Yeah, that would be
just
because
my parent every time like she'll have sort of like good and bad days. Like most of the time she just sleeps, and then like when people are home she runs around and like wants to play with you, and then she'll just want to sit with you. And like if she like gets a little too active, maybe like her back legs will start to hurt, and she'll just sort of like have a slow time where she won't want to do anything. And then my parents would be like, well, it's done. We got to put her down now. And she's, you know, this is the worst quality of life for anything ever. Like, she is feeling mopey for an hour.
She's just lethargic.
Yeah, she's just old.
I have a dog named Niles, which if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen at least 100 pictures of him.
Per day.
It's every hashtag day. Niles Crane Praywat.
Niles Crane Praywat. He's named after Niles from the show Frasier. Frasier's brother, Niles Crane. He's just kind of this nerdy guy, and Niles just kind of embodies that, just the way he looks, the way he acts. But he's definitely my first son for sure. I mean, and he's like a 50-pound dog. He's an average sized dog, and like when I come home, like he's so excited, but like what he really wants is to be on my level. So like I will pick him up, like, and put him over my shoulder like a baby, and like he's immediately calm, and he just sits there and like is like looking around, licking his lips. Like he's like very. Yeah. He's like,
well, the difference between us is like you were a cat guy.
Yeah, I was a cat guy. I did not care to have a dog, and my wife wanted a dog so bad. And I was like, one day I was just like on Pet Finder, and I had a friend that worked at a local animal welfare group called Homeward Bound. Shout out to Homeward Bound. I was like, oh, look on there. And she had told me, if you ever want a dog, like, I'll submit an application. I'll run it to the front and we'll get you a dog. And I was like, okay. And so found this dog and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. And I still have the picture saved in my phone from the website. And I was like, texted it to Brittany. I'm like, how about this one? She's like, yes. She's like, I don't care. I just want a dog. And so we went and picked him up and he's been super sweet ever since. I call him my little my little raptor. He looks like a little dinosaur sometimes. So I call him Yoshi. Yoshi for Nintendo. And then I have a cat named Chantel. Her name is Chantel. That's the name that she came with. I just call her Kitty Cat because she's I don't like the name Chantel for a cat, but my wife wanted to keep it, so.
Yeah.
I call her Shawnee sometimes. So
would not have been a choice of mine.
We need to bring her over to meet Rondo, so it can be Ron and John.
We're trying to get this cat date going.
This cat date. I mean, they're both fixed. We need to see
if Ron needs a friend now or not.
Yeah.
So we wonder if, like, hey, cat, he'll be like, hey, I know what this is. Let's, and maybe they'll play together. So, but interested to see. But at the same time, like, we don't want to have to share our love between animals.
Oh, it's tough. I mean,
I'm not sure how
you. I'm not gonna lie. I definitely love my dog.
Like, when you post a picture of Niles, do you feel like it's necessary to then post a picture of?
No, I don't.
Your cat, no. Just to even it out. Because I feel like there's people who post, like, if they have children, they'll post one picture. Yeah. And be like, oh crap.
There's no comparison. Like, we love Niles more than we love our cat. Certain sport, and there are two sports in mind that, well, we'll talk about three sports. We're going to talk about baseball, but first,
veto.
how would you guys, if you're going to make a change about basketball, what would you change about it? How would you fix basketball?
Like the referees, just essentially the way calls are made. So, like throughout an entire game where you're listening, the announcer's like, oh, that was definitely a foul, oh, that was definitely a travel, like maybe some sort of like replay system where they can say yes, this was a travel or something along those lines that they
like use. Like a coach's challenge, maybe.
Yeah, maybe similar to football where you have a certain amount of challenges you can do.
Do you think it would slow the game down too much?
That's the concern with that.
Yeah, but at the same time, we want the game to be reffed or like, and the calls to be made correctly.
Don't you think though that they could like just do a better job? Like training the referees in the off season to say, hey, we're actually going to crack down on traveling this year. We're actually going to crack down on like illegal screens this year. We're actually going to do all these things. And like,
I think instead of saying we're going to crack down on them, you should sort of change the rules. Like in a sense, that's what makes basketball, especially the NBA, exciting. Like the scoring. Fact that LeBron is going to take 5 steps before he, you know, smashes down a dunk on a breakaway.
Well, it doesn't necessarily need to be that so much, but even like, the fouls that they call on the players when somebody gets hit going to the basket, like from one game to another,
just make it
there's
more consistent.
No, yeah, there's no consistency mm-hmm. through it. So
I don't know how the refereeing works in basketball, but like you look at football, how they sort of have the referee groups and those groups sort of travel together. And so
is there a team?
It's almost teams. You have yeah. like a head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they all sort of have foul. Like, you can expect what they're going to call like, oh, this team sort of, you know, allows more of this. These guys are more heavy on secondary penalties. And I think that's weird. Like, if that's how it's done in the NBA, too, I don't get that. I feel like all of them should sort of be trained on an equal basis. And, like, if it's that clear for fans and commentators to see, yeah, they're calling these games differently, you should...
calls it one way.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL shouldn't be okay with that, really.
I don't have a problem with the pace of basketball. I mean, it's relatively exciting throughout. Yeah. The shot clock keeps the game running along, so that's not the issue at all. It's just more about consistency with calls, I'd say.
I think the one thing that I would like to see change, I definitely agree with that. Watching the NBA Finals this year, I was, like, maddened by the inconsistency in the refs. But the one thing that I would change is their draft. Like, I think that the lottery system does not create enough parity in the league, where in the NFL, if you're the worst team, you get the first pick.
You know, so you would rather them not have a draft. You just say, if you're worst, you get the first pick.
Yeah, it should be like the NFL, where it's just, you know, the rounds, you go worst goes first and all the way up to the champs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because, like, there's a shot that a decent team could wind up with the first pick and get the next superstar, even though they were in the middle of the pack in the season.
If the draft were to stay in place, there are two things I would do. A, either shorten the, or if the lottery were to stay in place, sorry, either shorten the lottery, like, dramatically, like, I think it was 14 teams that were in the lottery this year.
Right.
Starting with Oklahoma City, they had, like, the least chances, they got the last pick, whatever. But, like, why not just have, like, 5 teams and make it legitimately the worst? But if we go on the whole tanking conversation then, which is sort of, like, I don't know, I feel like that's one of the two really big issues in basketball right now, I would almost totally stray off of what you said, Justin, and go with, like, you have 5 teams that are eligible for the lottery, and if those are the 5 worst teams in the NBA, the best of those 5 gets the first pick.
I like the way the lottery works. I really do, because basketball is a completely different sport from the NFL. You see players go from one team to another constantly in the NBA, which, and big name players. It's not just the smaller guys, right, like, oh, he's a role player. No, it's like big name players switching teams almost year in and year out. So I like the idea of saying, hey, it doesn't really matter if you were first. So you have a chance.
You think the salary cap creates the parity then more than anything?
Yeah, almost. I mean, it's just like some teams have that advantage of, oh, we're in a good location, so people kind of want to come play here. Right. And the changes that happen throughout the NBA can cause the same teams to be consistently good.
So I guess let's switch to football then. Like, what would you change about football? What would you do to fix the NFL?
That's a tough one for me.
This is one that I would love to see. I know this is a complete pipe dream. Like, you'd have to be high to even consider this.
Probably.
But I would love to see one season where they did a 14-week schedule, and it was a play-in. Not necessarily a play-in. You were then seeded off of that, 1-16 on each side, and then all the teams were in a playoff. And you go down, and so I know there's the theory of, oh, tanking, but, you know, you're playing for home field advantage. So, like, in this instance, like, the Jaguars would be the, you know, the 16 seed, and the Patriots would be the 1 seed, and, like, that would be the first round, you know, and I would love to see that, and I think it would pique fan interest like crazy.
Yeah.
And it'd be like the college, you know, NCAA basketball tournament. But I know that I brought that up to you guys before, and you guys are like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, if you're going to do that, like, why even have the regular season if it serves no purpose besides getting a better seed? You're going to be more concerned with health. You look throughout the NFL, if any of your big players get hurt, that is a huge hit to your team.
That's true, but they're
not going to play their stars
So the Patriots tank the whole season and get the 16th seed. Well, now they have to go on the road the entire playoffs. So they have to play, like, 5 games in a row on the road to even get a chance at being in the Super Bowl. So I think that there's that. I can see resting players, but you don't want to rest them too much to get, like, out of, like, that top 8 or even top 4, because then you're gonna start to slide and have to go on the road a bunch, depending on, you know, how the schedule would lay out for you. So
I also think for the teams that struggle, maybe their fan base gets more into it because they have a legitimate chance because they know they're going to the playoffs. But for teams that are consistently good,
yeah,
what's the advantage of that for them? We work the entire regular season, get a good record so we can make the playoffs. Now we have a chance to lose because a freak situation. Yeah. Any given Sunday, that's the thing about the NFL I like the
most. I agree with that, but, like, if you're looking at it from perspective of, like, the NFL has done, like, everything in its power to make it more marketable, like, they're trying to draw in more of the common fans and stuff like that, this would be something that they could do to, like, where every fan would be invested in their team for the entire season because they'd all have
for
a shot.
For the playoffs is when you're going to be invested. You're going to lose a ton of years during the regular season. Yeah. It almost becomes baseball because the regular season games hardly matter.
All right.
Well, if I was going to change something in the NFL, it would be two things majorly. First of all, add an extra wild card spot in each of the conferences. So you'll have the 4 division champions and then 3 wild card spots, and then likewise say, if you're under 500, you're not allowed to make the playoffs, even if you've won.
But if you have 3 wild card spots, how do you run the tree? Because then a team would have to have multiple buys.
I think there's a way to do it, but
the biggest thing would be, though, taking under 500 teams and saying, even if you're a division champion at under 500. You can't make the playoffs. Your spot should be turned into another
wild
card. So
you'd rather just say it's like, hey, the top eight teams or whatever it is from that division go, regardless of like division champions or not? Because you can't just simply say, oh, you can't make it if you're less than 500, because what if one division is way more competitive? You play those teams twice a year, like, you have a less chance of making the playoffs, or now I can't make it, even though we played in the toughest division.
I mean, but I mean, you look, the Panthers had a technical, were they losing record? Were they what, 7-9? Record.
Yeah, and they won a playoff game.
I don't know. I would just be interested to see a playoff with all the teams in it. I just think it'd be really fun. At least one season. Admit it, it'd be really fun.
It'd be terrible. If you're going to do anything for one season, I think it'd be sweet to see a fantasy draft where every team just redrafts every player. That would be amazing.
So off topic, what do you guys think about corporal punishment?
This is nowhere near my alley. You guys go for it.
Growing up, did you ever get punished, like the paddle?
You know those like plastic things on blinds, like the little thing you spin.
Yeah.
My mom used to hit me with those.
Damn.
I've been hit with belts. I was pretty intense. I just had so much energy, so I'd run up and down the walls, things like that. So.
How many bones have you broken?
I've broken my leg, my arm, my wrists. Had stitches in my face five times.
What is wrong with you?
I'm pretty,
I've never
You're
had
such
stitches.
A chill person for the most part. I, like, knowing you in real life, I mean, when we're playing, like, catch or something like that, or football or whatever, you're, like, you have fun, you get out there, you play. But, like, in real life, you're just, like, the most chill, one of the most chill people. I can't imagine little Blake being, like, this holy terror.
I wasn't a bad kid. I just had tons of energy. Like, and I would jump on the couch, and when my mom would, like, stop jumping on the couch, I'd go jump on the other couch. Yeah. Something. I wasn't like a
Did
bad
you ever,
kid.
Like,
I didn't make
jump
bad
down
choices.
No, but like you, like, breaking
right?
all your.
Okay, so I'm competitive. That's the problem. I broke my leg telling my sister I could jump off a higher step than she could. I got stitches in my face from diving for a football, just playing catch in my backyard. Like, I get hurt because I want to be competitive and be better than everyone else,
Adam,
in sports.
Were you ever punished growing up, like, with a paddle or anything like that?
My parents would spank us, but that was it.
Like,
my mom has always said every time she ever spanked us afterwards, she would cry.
Yeah, my mom didn't cry when she spanked me.
She's all about it. She's looking for a reason to spank
just
you.
Daddy. One time though, I got paddled. Me and my brother.
What kind of paddle?
Like,
are you talking?
My dad had made a paddle. Like, legitimately, it had holes in it. It was like it had a handle and holes, so he could.
And people would come over to the
more
house
aerodynamic.
And say, "Oh, what's that?" And he would say, "Oh, that's my child beating paddle.
Literally
made,
like,
it myself.
It was hung on a wall. Like, I knew where it was. So I mean, it was somewhere, you know. And they would get it and paddle you on the butt. You know, if you're in trouble. But one time we went outside with, we were hanging out with our friend, neighborhood kid. This kid was a troublemaker. Like, his name was David. This kid was a troublemaker all the time. And he's always getting us, like, he's always, like, lying, like, telling, like, saying that he was doing stuff and, like, trying to get us to do stuff. And then one time we were in the backyard and he's like, "We should burn down this tree." And me and my brother were like, "Yeah, that's a great idea."
That sounds amazing.
And he had some matches, and so we were trying to light this tree on fire for like 20 minutes, and then we were finally out of matches. And so he goes to me and my brother, he's like, "You guys should go inside and get some more matches, because, you know, we're a household, we have matches probably inside." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll go since I'm the youngest." So I go inside, and I remember the matches were there in, like, this cabinet in our kitchen, like a couple, like, levels up. And I opened the, and I was, like, trying to reach for them. I was too short to grab them. And my mom comes in the kitchen. She's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I need the matches." And she's like, "What for?" I'm like, "We're trying to burn down the tree in the backyard."
Like, at least you were honest.
This is, like, I was like, and I was just very, like, forward with, like, "We're just trying to burn down, we're just trying to catch it on fire."
Justin
tree.
Was taught to be very honest, and also have no common sense.
So she's like, oh, and then like my dad's like, go get your brother. I'm like, okay. And then like I get Kenny, I'm like, I think we're in trouble. And then like we go inside and my dad has the paddle
already. he's ready to go.
And he's like, wow, oh, man, that was,
I don't know. It's strange because like today's like,
you can't touch a kid.
Yeah.
But like, here's I went to public school in Elkhart and I remember my teacher paddling one of the students.
It's legal to this day.
She had a paddle and she paddled on students. And like, I didn't disagree with it because this girl was a troublemaker. And like, they used to make you like stand on a line and like hold your arms out, which is like, I'm not sure if that's legal to do, but like, you know, and hold your arms up in the air for like 15 minutes. And like, yeah. I remember kids crying, like, I can't do anymore. They're like yelling, like, you didn't do your homework. I'm like, geez, like,
what you don't do heck? Your homework now. Like, oh, it's okay. I'll give you a 5% off. Just turn it in within the next 3 months.
Turn it in. Yeah. Turn it in by the end of the semester and we'll be good. Okay.
That was my high school career. Just at the end of the semester, I'd be like, what will you let me turn in now?
That's terrible.
Would you guys, if when you have kids, would you ever do your corporal punishment?
I haven't thought about it and don't want to think about it because I don't want to have kids right now.
I think there's ways to get around it. I think you can still be staring with your children, but you don't necessarily need to physically abuse children.
I could
children.
See like smacking a hand or something, like if they're doing something where they're actually going to get hurt, or like stopping them and yelling at them. Like, if they're trying to do something, like, and you know that it's going to hurt them. But, like, I mean, was there anything worse than when a parent said, I'm so disappointed in you?
Yeah. I mean, if you come off as a parent who actually cares and you take interest in your child's life.
That would always hurt way, to me, like, that always hurt way more than, like, getting paddled. Like.
Hurt your heart.
Yeah, hurt my heart. Hurt my little heart. Doing that, I can't imagine paddling a kid and, like, not wanting to kill myself after.
It really is just, like, different times. Like, back then, I mean, it was different. Yeah. Like, that's just, okay.
Go get a switch.
He's doing something wrong. Let me freaking smack this dude in the face.
Recently, I mean, I guess probably almost maybe a month ago now, Peter King released a power ranking that I think some people, there's some absurdity to it, but there's some validity to it. He had the Ravens number one and looks like Green Bay number two, which I can see, or number three.
Seattle was two. I can see
Seattle and Green Bay being at the top for sure, but the rest of it was a little bit sketchy. I'm a Chiefs fan, so he had it coming out at four, which I like to see, but I think they're the fourth best team in the league right now? No. Based off of last year, no. You have to prove that your O-line is
How can you
fixed.
Prove Baltimore is number one? Based on what?
Especially when you look... I mean, it's not like Joe Flacco showed you that he's gotten better last year.
What
he had a
moves have they made
year.
This offseason that you're like, wow, this
they
team is
They lost their wide receiving
better.
Core.
They lost the receivers. They have Steve Smith, who continues to somehow be productive. He's got to fall off eventually.
They picked up Breshad Perriman in the draft, who... had drop problems in college, and if you look at the reports from OTAs, they're not even saying, wow, he's so amazing. They're saying, yeah, he's still dropping a ton of balls.
Yeah, if you're dropping it in shorts and non-contact, that's when you'd be concerned. Like, I get all the reports, like, everyone looks amazing. Well, they should. But if you have reports where they actually look terrible, a receiver or someone looks terrible in shorts, like they can't even, like, run a route and catch a football.
Yeah.
Then you're maybe a little, should be a little bit concerned.
One thing I do agree with on these power rankings, though, is they have New England, even though they won the Super Bowl, they have them at five.
Yeah.
They lost their entire secondary besides McCourty.
And potentially their quarterback
their
for
quarterback
the first
four,
for
games,
so.
Which we don't really know for sure yet.
I agree. But, I mean, the worst season that they've never had a losing season since Tom Brady's been the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see...
I mean, that's why they're still up there at five, but I wouldn't say, hey, they're the number one or two team since they won the Super Bowl. I agree with Seattle being out there. I think Jimmy Graham's a good addition. I think that should help Russell Wilson out even more.
Justin wants to make a comment about Jimmy Graham's ability to block, but we'll move on.
Also, Jimmy Graham's ability to block and also them losing half of their O-line, which I felt like was a huge thing for them considering they're a run-first team. That's my only comment. That I'd say I think their defense is still going to be great. I think that Marshawn Lynch is a great running back. I think Russell Wilson is very smart, very efficient, and Jimmy Graham is a great target. However, if they can't set up the run you know, if they can't have a dominant run game, I don't think it's going to matter. So
I think they'll have enough talent to still maintain a run game. I mean, you still have one of the better left tackles in the league.
I agree. But you would expect, just based on history, for them to slip a little bit this year, just because they've been to two Super Bowls in a row.
Right.
History says that there's a chance that, I mean, they'll probably win the division. They'll probably go to the playoffs. But for them to make another run
seems... Well, it's not even like last year, like the beginning of the year, they were 1-4?
I think they were like 2-3 to start.
They were starting off relatively rough. And a lot of people were like, what's going on with the Seahawks? They turned it around and eventually made the playoffs. But it could be a similar scenario. Yeah. And maybe they don't win these close games that they won last year.
On the same power rankings, they have Arizona. Obviously, same division as... Seattle ranked at number 10.
Which I think, I don't know.
I like it.
That's such a mystery team for me. So I agree, yeah.
They lost an amount of their defense, which everyone says they're a defense-predicated team, and they lost some of their more talented players. I think that they have a good coach. He'll develop that.
Yeah, go ahead.
But before last season, people were not high on Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was kind of an interception machine, injury-prone, did anything.
He's still
even
way
last
overrated.
Year. And then as soon as he got hurt, everyone says, oh gosh, their chances are so bad now. Like Carson Palmer was not the reason that they went 9-0.
As a coach.
Well, Carson Palmer is just, I mean, that's who he is. And they consistently think, this is a top quarterback. He can take this team here or there. Like, he continues to have turnover problems.
I don't think, not even top 20.
He's way overrated. He's coming off an ACL injury. He came back quick, so, I mean, that's fine.
The fact that...
What kind of production will he have?
A lot of people are really high on Arizona. Like, you know, Super Bowl favorites, going to beat out Seattle for the division title. I just don't see that. I think 10's a fair spot for him.
Yeah, I'm okay with
10. We're putting way too much stock in saying Carson Palmer's going to be back, so they're going to be the best team.
I think, yeah, when you look at their team, you say, what superstars do they have? On defense, they have Calais Campbell. They got the Honey Badger.
He's old. He's oft injured.
And then what's his Patrick Peterson, who had a down year last year, but he's still
down year.
He's still good. On offense, like, they have, you know, Floyd... Fitzgerald's getting up there, so you worry about him. Like, you don't look at the team and say, man, they have a lot of superstar, like, game changers.
Andre Brown, the receiver.
Yeah, he had a good season.
He had a good season, so he could step up.
You could see him do it. But, like, as far as tailback or tight end goes, you're like, can you name their tight ends?
Right, yeah.
Can you name their running backs?
Carlson, maybe? John Carlson might have been on their team last year.
Ellington?
Andre Ellington, yeah. But, I mean, he's not, like, someone that you're scared of. You know what I mean?
The last team I want to talk about on these rankings, though, is they have Houston at 28. That means Houston, who had a 9-7 record last year, is lower than Cleveland, lower than San Francisco, who's lost half their team, the Washington Redskins, and the New York Jets, after having 9 wins. Okay, so you don't have a quarterback. But their defense hasn't lost anybody.
Right. They're getting people back.
They've got Vince Wilfork, who's going to help their run defense
Clowney
even more.
Clowney is a question
more.
Mark, but even if he's like an average to good starter, he's still...
And they're in the worst division in football, so they're going to win 2 games against the Jacksonville Jaguars and 2 games against the Titans.
And I think the Colts should watch out, too, because, I mean, with that pass rush and ability to stop the run on defense... You know, if they can just find a way, if their offense can generate 20 points a game, like,
that's the question. That's why they have to be ranked low. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback situation, questionable. I think Hoyer takes the job. I really don't even think it's a question to me. Mallett doesn't really have starting experience, and I think that you want the most experience possible just to sort of have proficiency. But their biggest factor is... injuries to Arian Foster, really. Like, he needs to be your star player. And when he's missing 2 or 3 games a year, that just kills you.
They've had a good run scheme, though, and their line's been solid for a while, though. They've had a lot of backs produce behind that line.
Arian Foster wouldn't have had the career that he has had he not gone to that team and been in that scheme.
Outside of him, like, you don't really see many weapons. What's the wide out that
Hopkins.
They have? Hopkins, like...
Yeah.
You know, you don't know much about
him.
He's
coming along pretty well. I mean, he's solid, but you don't hear anything because they don't have a quarterback to throw him the ball.
Right.
So, based on quarterback. But outside of that, like, outside of those two guys, you don't really know who their, like, offensive threats are. And, like, I mean, I think Foster's good, but he's not, like, when I look at that team, it doesn't scare me. I'm like, oh, they're not going to, like, kill us with just Foster. You know what I mean?
Right,
so
right. You just have to hope your team can get in some sort of field position where you can kick field goals because if you score 10 points, you're probably going to beat them.
Yeah.
The fact that they would put, that Peter King would put the Texans that low and then the Jets only 4 spots higher is sort of really striking to me then when he has Buffalo at number 18, so 10 spots above.
Yeah, and I don't see their quarterback position any better.
Their quarterback position's in a worse state.
Yeah, they may have some more better offensive skill positions, but overall I think their defenses are probably about equal. And you know what I mean? Like between the Jets, the Bills, and the Texans, I would say like all of those are going to be good defenses this year, but huge question marks on quarterback. And I could see Buffalo being ranked a little higher because they have more talent in their skill position.
They just remind me of Cincinnati every time I think of them. I mean, who's holding them back? The quarterback.
Andy
they have
Dalton,
so much talent around
Andy
them. Their
Dalton
defense
is
are
like,
good.
Is a young
and
Jay
they
Cutler.
Have he has Cincinnati at 12, which is relatively
yeah,
surprising
just,
to me.
Andy
but Buffalo and Cincinnati, I mean, those teams could go either
we
way.
We talked about Andy Dalton
year.
Last week, too, but he's like a mixture of Jay Cutler and Alex Smith, where you're like, when he tries to make a play, he throws an interception, and then half the time, he's too scared to try to make a play. Whereas
right.
Alex Smith is like, I'm not going to throw an interception, so I'm just going to either like run or get sacked.
And then he finishes his season with 6 interceptions. I'll take that.
Yeah, we're talking about Andy Dalton, who... He's just an odd mixture of, like, conservative and irrational at the same time. We're like, what were you thinking, Andy Dalton?
I gotta make a play, but I don't want to. Oh, no. Interception.
He chooses, like, all the wrong... When he does try to make the play, it's the wrong time.
I mean, they do have all the talent on their team. But speaking of, we're talking about talent. Like, also, another thing we were talking about earlier is, like, trios. Like, and this was a point of emphasis on NFL.com and maybe a few other sites. Where they're talking about the best trios in the league. I'm a homer, so I'm like, Kansas City Chiefs have the best. They have Macklin, Charles, and Travis Kelce. And I think that's a pretty good trio.
We're not calling that a trio, though.
Yeah, it's
trio has to be
quarterback,
running back,
wide
receiver, and then wide receiver
catcher,
or tight end.
Pass catcher, basically.
Passing option.
So when we were talking about the Bengals, I want to read what theirs says. It says, Green doesn't get enough credit for basically biting his lip like through his quarterback mediocrity. It says, deep down, Green knows no doubt his lofty production comes in spite of the red rifle, which is 100% true.
Yeah.
He's such an amazing talent. He has these high stats, and it's not because of his quarterback. It's even with his quarterback.
I think the Bengals need to draft a quarterback next year.
Like, we've argued with each other before whether or not Peyton Manning made Demaryius Thomas's career or vice versa. I think it's extremely clear to say that A.J. Green's career had nothing to do with his quarterback.
Yeah.
He's made it in spite of him.
Yeah. But I think, I think, does this list have the Steelers as number one?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I agree with that whole heart.
I mean, I don't think there's a better trio than Roethlisberger, especially the last 2 years, the way that Roethlisberger has played has been lights out. Antonio Brown has just been amazing. And Le'Veon Bell is just so consistent. They have number two as Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, which I can see an argument for that, but I'm not as high on Eddie Lacy as most people are. I think Bell is.
I would take Le'Veon Bell for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt. He's
but
just
over
better
Lacy,
over,
yeah.
overall. I mean, because he
They're
comes out of the backfield
backs.
Very well.
Eddie Lacy just seems kind of slow.
He's a power guy. I mean,
like,
that's
he's never
going to
break a 60 or like 70 yard run. Whereas, like, I don't know if Bell can do that, but I would have more faith in Bell.
And I would still take. I think I would take Antonio Brown over Jordy Nelson too.
He's
love Jordy
freak.
Nelson.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He can make tons of catches.
But White
Antonio
Lightning.
Brown is open. Every play.
I would say that Jordy Nelson is like one of the only white athletes that doesn't look awkward out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
And shout out to him being from Kansas State.
K-State.
Very impressive.
Woo.
Very impressive.
Super high is the New England Patriots. Brady, Blunt, and Gronkowski.
How can you even call Blunt their running back?
He's their starting running back
right now.
Oh, okay, for the first game and then maybe again in the eighth game. And
well,
then again
they got rid of
you know, their starting running back by the beginning of the
Stephen
season will
Ridley,
be some undrafted guy that you've never heard of.
Well,
guaranteed.
I wouldn't be surprised if that Gray guy, what's his first
Jonas
name?
Gray.
Jonas Gray from Notre Dame. Like
Notre Dame!
He could come in and have a decent production behind it.
Because LeGarrette
Blount's suspended
at this point,
at least a game, right?
I think he's not suspended. I don't know why, but not suspended as long as Le'Veon Bell is.
At this point, you could
so
probably draft Jonas
right.
Gray in the first round of your fantasy draft and watch him. He'll light it up this year. That's just how it's going
to
go.
Every
I definitely
year
want to do
fantasy,
that, sure.
I draft a running back from the Patriots. It's the worst decision I've ever made.
I know.
Who
Shane Vereen or Stephen Ridley I've had almost every year, and you never know which one's going to do something.
We'll be right back.
LeBron Rames.
We have to talk about him every time because he is LeBron. So, does he get a pass, like, for not winning the finals?
I think you have to give him a pass here.
Like, are we just making excuses for him because he had all the injuries, or do we have to give him a pass?
Yeah, like, people want to compare him to Jordan. Oh, he was 6-for-6. Like, but in this situation where you're in the finals with less than the half of your team, I would almost argue, you can't say, this is on LeBron, he lost this, he's not clutch or something like that.
I mean, the stats
you
were
also
like,
see his stats.
He outscored everyone, he had more rebounds than everyone, he had more assists than everyone or something like that.
That's kind of an argument you always hear, too. It's like, Michael Jordan is better because he has won 6 finals. That's like saying Joe Flacco is better than, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers. Or like, you would say Eli Manning is better than Aaron Rodgers because he's won 2 Super Bowls. Like, it's not a correct argument. You base it off their entire body of work.
In team sports, you just can't go with that. You can't. People make the same argument about Peyton Manning. It's very hard to say that someone is not, elite or the best player, whatever you want to call it, simply because of titles.
But I think you have to look at their performances in championship games and weigh that a little bit because
You weigh that some, and sure, Michael Jordan went 6-for-6, but it's not like LeBron isn't performing or not doing well in the finals.
That's true. I mean, I'm sure he's had some down times, but like overall, like it was pretty incredible thinking, like just watching the finals and saying, wow, if they had just one other person who could score semi-consistently and wasn't a liability on the floor, they would be winning this game. And so like
all the games were at least at one point or another, most of them even in the finish were
the
super
fourth
close.
Quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, sometimes they kind of,
they needed more than one clutch player.
You needed more than 7 players playing the game.
It was really depressing to just watch like people like J.R. Smith consistently miss shots, and like just sometimes they show the camera on LeBron and he's just like frustrated, like, come on.
He's like, I have 3 guys guarding
make
me
a
and
shot
I throw a pass out
just
to
make
you.
A shot
please just make at least one.
LeBron has to be at that point just of the opinion, like, thinking, what do I have to do? And not even just in that game, but if it's me, I'm thinking, like, as a whole, all of these finals, all the teams I'm trying to build, like, what do I have to do to get over this hump? Like, he said it himself, he's the best player in the world, and none of us are going to argue that. We're all going to agree with it wholeheartedly.
Do you think that he has a career after basketball as, like, a coach?
I don't think he'll do that.
It's kind of something to think about. And you see Michael Jordan, he, like, owned a team, but he didn't actually
currently
coach. Yeah, so does LeBron do something along those lines? Because he's almost playing the GM role right now.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, I could see him. I think that he's very he's a very intelligent person, and like
I think he's a good communicator. Like, he can come up to you and get you to follow
that,
or believe
what
he's doing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can see him being a coach, like post his NBA career. And being a very good like leader, like in that regard.
Great leader knows how to get the best out of people, and that's a pretty big portion of being in any sort of leadership position.
And he has an understanding of every position on the floor, so like I think that.
Well, David Blatt came in with his offense that he ran, and LeBron James is just basically like, "No, we're not going to do that. Here's how we'll play offense." So I think he has the ability to create an offense and do things like that, but it's a pretty high profile name to just go be a coach. I don't know. It's kind of tough for me to say. I think that would happen.
I'm coaching the team. I'm drawing the plays. I'm in charge. I'll draft too.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll draft.
Sign
this. Well, he's the one who said for the Heat, he's like, I really like Shabazz Napier. You guys should totally
draft him.
Drafted. And then LeBron's
like
later.
Later. He's like, he's really good. Trust me.
Trust me.
He just tweeted that out. Yeah, Shabazz is a pretty good player. And like, we got him.
We'll do it. Whatever you want. We'll trade all our picks. Doesn't matter. Closing topic. Best meal in town. Go.
Five Guys.
Five Guys?
I don't know. I'm an incredibly picky eater. I don't like anything.
What's your... So. You guys love the pizza place here locally. What is it?
Luigi's Pizza, yeah.
Where's Luigi's?
It's Luigi's on the Avenue. It's on Mishawaka Avenue in Logan. It's a little pizza joint. If anyone feels the need to try it, you always have to ask for well done, because they'll put it in a little longer and kind of burn the cheese on the top. And it's pretty high quality. We like it a lot. But... I mean, I'm not super picky as far as pizza goes. I can almost do any, but yeah, we really enjoy them.
My favorite pizza in town is a place called Starlight. There's two Starlights in town.
Are we only doing pizza?
Well, we're just going to cover pizza real quick.
Okay, I got it.
There's a Starlight in South Bend, and then there's one in, like, the Mishawaka Granger area, and they're different. But the one in Mishawaka Granger, absolutely phenomenal. Been in New York, been to Chicago... Had all the pizzas, really, and Starlight tops it all for me.
Yeah, it's just strange, because, like, we had Starlight together almost, like, the first time we hung out, and it was good, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't, like,
Starlight. It's just, like, it's right up my alley.
I've seen the light.
If we're talking pizza, it's a little bit outside of town in Goshen, Indiana, but Venturi is my number one pizza place. I'm, like...
Which we still need to try.
I know, I need to... I've taken Adam there. I haven't taken you there, though. We'll go. We'll go soon, I promise. What... What'd you say? Like, we have Jackie here in studio. No, Jackie.
Jackie, come join.
Come up here. What's your best meal in town?
We need you up here.
Luigi's.
Jackie agreed. It is Luigi's on the Avenue.
So why? What about Luigi's? Like, just is better than
you any got it. You have not had Venturi.
I have.
You've had Venturi in Goshen?
Yes.
When?
Probably 6 months ago. Actually, it was last summer.
You're a liar.
I swear. Yeah. I went with my mother. Because it's all...
That's not even true, because you don't have a mom.
And you don't like it because... Or I wouldn't like it. Is it like their sweet sauce? Or like, what about it? Is it like really... They have a lot of sauce on it? Because I think... Didn't you say that?
It's more like gourmet pizza. Like, you're going to have like more fresh ingredients. And you're more of a processed ingredient kind of guy.
He's high on the GMOs.
I'm the GMO.
I love GMOs.
Yeah, so
the more processed,
anything
the better,
with
really.
Sugar or processed foods in it,
that's good.
That's exactly what I'm going for.
That's how you know they get a consistent quality. Like, someone took what the earth did and said, how can we make this better, consistent, you know?
How can we make this poisonous? Yeah, let's throw some of this stuff on.
Yeah, that's part of it, but I don't care.
All right, well, I'm going to go my best meal in town right now, like, just a local restaurant, like a single meal that I would recommend. The chicken curry at Creation, very close to Notre Dame on by the campus, is pretty good. So I would recommend that. Try that out. I get it at a 5 spiciness. So, you know, if I'm kind of sensitive to the spice. So my wife is like, I got it at an 8, and she was like, fine. But
yeah, the waiter
again,
was
we
really.
We are not sponsored by.
We're
Creation,
not sponsored by
nor Jurassic
any,
Park.
We're not
at this
sponsored
point,
by
so.
Anybody. Summer is just about to start, or it's already started by the time this podcast comes out. What are you guys looking forward to?
Volleyball and football.
Yeah, big time. Volleyball is always huge. We try to play once a week. It's always some of the most exciting things we do. We have a Labor Day trip planned with my parents. Supposed to be going to some cabin.
Isn't Labor Day like September?
Yeah, September 3rd, 4th is when we'll be leaving, but then it's the week after that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not huge on bugs. So that's the thing that I'm worried about the most. But other than that...
You don't like bugs?
I hate bugs more than anything.
You are in the minority in the country.
Yeah, I know. Everyone loves mosquitoes and like getting bit by them and like getting stung by bees. I just, for some reason, I don't like it.
Never been your thing?
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. Maybe you were just raised wrong.
Other than that, I mean, summer is summer. And I'm excited just for it to be warm.
You guys want to have a pool party at my in-laws?
Can we go now?
It's not warm enough or sunny outside.
But Justin.
What about you? What are your summer
plans? This summer, I am working on my book. I'm writing a book. And then...
Who we will be sponsored by once
it's
finished.
We will be sponsored by the book. Or the podcast will sponsor the book. I don't know. We'll talk about it more.
We'll see which one carries
more weight. Yeah, we can all read the book and give an honest review on it. You guys can be like, this book sucks. But I don't know. I'm just looking forward to it being hot. I love hot weather. Adam, anything in particular?
Football and volleyball. I enjoy being outside and feeling active and like I'm doing something. So if I can play legitimately any sport, even sports I don't really like, I'll do it just for the ability to get going and get moving.
You're kind of fat.
Getting there.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. Yeah. I think we're all kind of
better watch it.
Getting fat. All right, well, next week we'll have maybe another guest on. Thanks for being here, Jackie.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
We really appreciate it. Jackie's our official photographer and is our...
She may create a Facebook page, JackiePhotography.org.
Because she's an organization.
She became an organization overnight.
She did our pictures for free.